A bit of warm for you, all I hope for. Written and read by K-Burb. This is a Clone Wars fic rated general audiences, in which no archive warnings apply. It features original clone trooper characters created by K-Burb and Flower Parrish.
When there's not a lot of warmth left to go around.
When Shox turns around, they realize she's gone. A brief panic sets in, because they're supposed to protect her. They promised Fleece to always keep an eye on Cori, keep her safe.
She's your batchmate, the goateed clone had told Shox. And you two are special, different in your own ways. You have to take care of one another.
They'd looked at her and nodded, a silent promise. Fleece had taught them about being different, about pronouns. The Kaminoans didn't know Fleece was a girl, but she sure did. Back then, Shox didn't have words for how they were different. They hadn't picked their pronouns yet, wasn't sure that they were anything but a boy, but Cori had. She knew she was just like Fleece. All Shox knew was they had to protect her, like she would protect them. But now Cori isn't by their side, and their heart begins to race. Until they see two figures slipping out of the doors of 79. Relief sets in. She's with another Vod, someone who knows about being different. She's safe. Shox turns back to the group of Vode who they've been talking to and lets the worry slide away. When Cori comes back to their dorm, Shox isn't sure if it's the next morning or simply late that night. They've been cleaning the dorm, in case Tra needed somewhere to stay, and have been so absorbed in the task that they truly cannot tell how much time has passed. Cori has a soft smile on her face and she's alone, so Shox's cleaning panic was for nothing. They don't resent that, though. Shox will never resent Cori. She looks around the dorm and slides an accusatory glance toward Shox.
Were you panic cleaning again?
Shox crosses their arms.
So what if I was?
Cori shakes her head.
I was fine, Shox.
I wasn't cleaning because I was worried about you.
Yeah, sure you weren't.
I was cleaning because I thought maybe Tra would want to crash with us. They insist. Cori looks taken aback by that.
Oh, she says softly. No, she has her battalion's quarters.
Shox shrugs in response. But we're a safe place. So is the 212th, Cori points out.
Tra's out there, Shox.
We're out here, Shox argues, to those who understand. The 212th lets her be out to everyone. She counters. There's no arguing with that.
We'll get there, Shox says.
I know, she promises, giving them a small smile. They stand there for a moment before Shox's boundless energy comes back full force. Bouncing on the balls of their feet, they say,
So,
tell me about this Tra. The next time Tra comes to visit, Shox was not given enough forewarning to hyper-focus on cleaning. Shox had been on double duty assisting the Senate Guard, a universally draining experience for the Vode of Cori Guard.
They have a moment of wanting to give Commander Fox some hell for it, but it passes quickly. It's just not their nature. So, when they press the button to open the door to their dorm and are greeted by not just one face but two, they stutter to a stop. Tra and Corey both look up from the game board they've set up in the middle of the dorm. "Hi," Tra says, sounding almost shy.
"Shocks,"
Corey greets happily. Shocks doesn't stay frozen for long.
"Tra," they say excitedly.
"I didn't know you were coming." "Oh, Stars, I'm sorry for the mess I left behind. I just..." Corey cuts them off. "Shocks, you're fine. She's seen worse, I'm sure. Come in, get settled."
"Yes, but..."
"Shocks," she says warningly. "You're about to go into one of your hyperactive spirals. Settle." Tra looks surprised at the open way Corey has called Shocks out, but they don't mind. This is how they are. Every Vode in the guard knows this. Thorn calls Shocks the embodiment of a Lothwolf pup. Excitable, prone to tripping over their own feet, and fond of everyone in the pack. "Yeah, yeah," Shocks responds and carefully steps over the game board to collapse on their bunk. "I'm too burnt out for a spiral, I swear." Corey laughs and looks between them and Tra. "They're lying," she tells Tra.
"I'm not," Shocks insists.
They prop up on one elbow and give Tra the most serious look they can muster. "I just had to work with Senate Guard." She raises an eyebrow. "I have no idea what that implies." They groan. Stuck up, convinced Corey Guard doesn't know how to handle senators, like we don't handle them every day. "It's a mess," they say. "And I want to sleep for days." Tra looks at the game board. "We can clear out," she offers. "I don't want to impose." Shocks waves a hand. "It's fine," they insist. Corey nods. Shocks could sleep through a stampede. Tra still looks a little bit guilty. "No, I swear," Shocks says. Tra still leans over to mute the game board. "We'll be quiet," she promises. Corey shakes her head in amusement. "You'll see." When Shocks wakes up next, Corey and Tra are nowhere to be found. They stretch, inhale deeply, and crinkle their nose. They reek. Sighing, Shocks rolls from the bunk to head to the fresher. When Shocks returns, so have Corey and Tra. And, oh, the dorm smells carking incredible. Like grease and meat and calf.
"Oh, good," Corey says. "I was worried I'd have to get one of the commanders to scare you from sleep."
Shocks runs a hand through their still wet hair. "Got woken up by my own smell," they quip. "So, a stampede couldn't wake you," Tra says. "But your smell can." "Their smell? Or the sound of any of the commanders being disappointed?" Corey informs her with a laugh. Shocks gives a half-hearted grumble. "Anyway," Corey says, leaning over to pick up a greasy bag. "I took Tra to 79 again." She tosses the bag to Shocks, who catches it with one hand and hungrily rips it open. 79, for being a bar, also has the best foods in the morning. If given a choice, Shocks would eat there always.
"What time is it?"
they ask, mouth full of greasy root vegetables. Tra wrinkles her nose. "Just before mid-meal," she tells them. "You slept in."
That's what a double incendiary guard does to Avad. Makes you die, Shox says, swallowing down their bite and giving Tra their best grave expression. Ignore them, Corey says. They're dramatic. Shox shrugs, shoving more food into their mouth. Tra has a day left of her leave, and Corey is on duty after mid-meal, leaving Shox to entertain Tra. So, naturally, they talk about work. I'm not trying to scare you, Shox says. Being a Corey guard is actually, like, the best job ever. Tra nods, sipping at her calf and looking around the break space. I believe that, she says softly. Plus, I'm here, Shox jokes, and startles a laugh out of Tra. Here's something else, Shox, she says, but there's a hint of affection in her tone. They also exchange stories of their time on Kamino, the older Vode who looked after them. Shox tells Tra about Fleece, how she wasn't the least bit surprised when Corey told her about her pronouns, how later she celebrated when Shox did the same. I wish I'd known her, Tra says earnestly. I think it would have saved me a lot of pain. Shox smiles sympathetically. Sounds like you have it pretty good with General Kenobi, though. She shrugs. Yeah, it's pretty nice. Commander Cody uses Kaish pronouns, even. Shox turns the word over in their mind. They were never as interested in learning Mandoa as some of their batchmates, but they'd heard Kaish use before. That's the same pronouns as one of Fleece's batchmates, they tell her. Oh yeah? She looks interested. How many of us are there? Shox shrugs. I don't know. I just know you guys. But Fleece told me about Carla. She insists Kaish is just misunderstood, but? From what I understand, Kesh is lucky Kesh was placed with Bly, Shox finishes. His general is probably the kindest person in the galaxy, Tra says, understanding where they're going with this. Exactly. Later that night, Corey returns from her shift and joins them in the break room. Shox had snagged an extra plate of food during late meal, and she looks appreciatively at it. Shox and Tra are sitting on the opposite ends of the sofa, and Corey flops down between them. Wordlessly, she picks at her food before sighing. You have to eat, Shox insists. She gives them a warning glance. Not being protective, they promise. Just a fact. I'll eat later, she promises. But I want a nap. Quinlan Vos was just visiting, which means duty actually turned into a sparring match because he was bored. Bored. Vos is here? Shox asks excitedly. Whenever the Jedi comes to visit, Commander Fox seems to get all weird, and Shox loves to witness it. It's probably because Fox doesn't trust Jedi very much, but it's still kind of funny to see. Corey groans. Not now, Shox. We can see him tomorrow. Tra looks confused. What's happening? Quinlan Vos is the coolest Jedi, Shox tells her. She rolls her eyes. No, he's not. You know him? He's General Kenobi's best friend, she says. If you ever want to see a Jedi general revert back to a child, put them in a room together. That sounds like Shox's personal heaven, Corey laughs. After convincing Corey to eat a few bites, they go back to their dorm. To Shox's surprise, Tra announces she's too tired to make her way back to where she's staying and asks if she can bunk with them. Shox doesn't miss the excited glint in Corey's eyes. Only if we can have a cuddle pile, Shox says. Only if Tra is comfortable with that, Corey says, turning to the other Vod. We often sleep in the same bunk, she explains. Ever since we were batchmates. I think it's universal, Tra responds, to want to be close to one another. My batchmates and I did that too. Corey looks relieved. It's just comforting sometimes, she admits. Tra nods. I get that. Shox moves to their bunk, pulling blankets and pillows from it before resolutely tossing it onto Corey's mattress. Without another word, they crawl to the far wall of the bed and look to the others. Corey gives a soft but nervous laugh before moving slowly to the bed. She crawls in, leaving space for Tra. Tra, with far less reluctance than Shox had expected, joins them on the bed. After some shifting and awkwardness, they all find their places. Corey hums happily, slinging a leg over Shox, just like they've always slept. Tra curls inward a little bit, resting her head on Corey. They fall asleep, content in their closeness. Shox has a feeling Corey might be falling for Tra. Their protectiveness hopes the feeling is mutual. The end.
Not a lot.